Good morning, Village.
Good morning.
All of you here in the sanctuary and those of you who are online, we are glad that you are here. So we have a few announcements today. Right after worship, we're having a luncheon, so make sure that you go to the left and not straight out this Sunday. Lots of good food out there. Oh. All right. So, getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay, right? It'll give you something to talk about when we stand up and greet each other. Hi. Start this again. Reminder that the luncheon is today. Make a left when you leave the sanctuary. Don't go straight out. It smells really good, so please join us and have lots of fellowship and good food. Okay, a couple announcements. Sweatshirts and t-shirts with new design will be available for ordering today. All right. I have a sign from Karen in the back, so she's going to come up and she's going to show us the new sweatshirts, right? You are welcome. And you will be in the Northex?
In the conference room.
In the conference room?
Yes.
To the right.
Yes.
Up to the left.
Yes.
All right. Just look for Karen or Kathleen or somebody that handles the sweatshirts, okay? Help is needed to host the primary election at Village. There are some shifts from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Lots of choices, right, all day. Sign-up sheet is near the coat closet, which is to the right, and the bulletin board right there. There's a sign-up sheet. If you are new at Village, you will need to get a name tag so that we will know who you are and you will know who we are. And you can do that. Wanda, where are you? Are you in here? Nope. She had some blank ones that are on the table out there, and you can write your name in and then they'll make it really nice print for you next week. All right, so make sure if you're new here that you get a name tag. Let me see, one more. Mailing list for the weekly Village activities. You can contact Dave or Carlin, and it's t.patch72@gmail.com, or you can drop a note in that offering box back there on the wall just as you go out this door on this side. Okay, so white box on the wall. And let me see one more, I think. These little red pads that are on the pews, you can fill them out. It's information, your name, your email address. And so you want to pass it down the aisle and sign it. Am I correct about that? Yes. And sign it and fill out your email address and maybe some other information that you want to share with us. And we'll know that you were here today. Okay? Any other announcements? None. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Good morning, Village. It's good to see all of you here this morning. The fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday. So the passages of scripture you often get for this day are from John 10 and Revelation. And also this passage that we're looking at today, Psalm 23. So glad you're here today to share this time of worship with us. We're going to have a time of prayer together. And I want to invite you to share your concerns. But before you do, I want to just remind everybody who's online that the sound will be muted for reasons of privacy. And as soon as we share our concerns, we'll bring everybody online back into the worship. But for right now, I'd be interested in knowing what is on your heart today as you come to worship this morning. God, we come here this morning for many reasons, but we surely come seeking your peace and hope. We remember today how the psalmist wrote of green pastures and still waters, places of rest. What we would give for such places in our hearts. In the midst of all that's hard, there is one who leads us to these places where we can gather strength and healing, and be prepared to go back out into the world to serve again. We thank you, Lord, that you listen to our cries and respond in love. We find great assurance in that. We've offered today the names and situations of illness and concern, people who are traveling, the violence that touches our nation. Now we need your healing and restoration. We pray for each one in their need, whether the need has been spoken or whether it's in the heart. That your abundant love would flood over each person in their need until they're more than filled. And God be with all of us here, strengthening us, restoring us, healing us, challenging us to witness in word and deed to the good news of Christ. We're thankful for the rest and the refreshment and the peace we find in this place and in your presence. We pray that the still waters of worship and the living water of your word would serve to quiet us and open us to your grace. God, open our hearts this day and enter our lives. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.
All right, it's time for the children's story. All right. Scoot down, Avery, can you scoot down just a smidge? That way, no, that way, towards Kyle. Down, down, shift it, got it. All right, today is one of my favorite days here at Village. We do it every single year. I have a lot of favorite things. Christmas Eve service, love that. Homecoming, picnic Sunday. I'm so glad they helped you. I love that for you. And you know what? We can talk more about that. We can share those at Children's Church. When we go around the table and you tell us about exciting things, we're going to do that. I know all my adults are jealous we get to do that, but that's our special thing. We'll share, okay, at Children's Church. Okay, so today, does anyone know what it is? That's my favorite day. What do we get to do after service? Ruby. Brunch. Wow. Breakfast food. I'm really a little hobbit at heart, and I just like to have breakfast and breakfast and breakfast and breakfast all the time. So this is your chance. All right, go ahead. Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're going to put our listening ears, and we are going to share our favorite breakfast food. Ready? Think about it for a second. One thing. We're all going to share. One thing. Breakfast food.
Waffles. Bagels.
Smoothies, he said.
Pancakes. Cereal.
Toast with butter.
Toast with so many carbs. We love carbs. That made us so hungry. All right, team pancakes all the way. I like pancakes and cinnamon rolls. So good. So I thought it was only right that we tell a story about breakfast. And you know what? Pastor Joel told the story and talked to us about the story of breakfast last week, but we were in children's church, so we didn't even hear it. There's a really cool story in the Bible about breakfast. Did you know that? Breakfast? What? I know. I even knew it off the top of my head. Thank you, sir. You're such a good helper. All right. In the Bible, and I'm going to tell like a short little version of it. At Children's Church, we'll learn a little bit more about it. But there's this story in the Bible from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. So it's kind of a long story. So we'll read it more there. But Peter, who was one of the disciples, was out on a boat with his friends, okay? Now, this is a complex story because Peter, you see, he did something not really nice about Jesus, and he sort of denied him, and Jesus was mad, and then Jesus went to the cross, and they died. And so Peter thought he was never going to have a chance to tell Jesus he was sorry or to figure it out or what was going on. So him and his friends are out on the boat, okay, and they're fishing for breakfast. It's weird. Nobody said fish for breakfast. Anyone here fish for breakfast? Is that your fave? No? No? Oh, all right. Okay. I mean, I love fish, too. I think there's something called an English breakfast that they have, and then maybe people that live near water, but I mean, I've had, like, salmon for breakfast and, like, quiches and stuff. But anyways, they're out there fishing for breakfast, right, and they're fishing, and they're fishing, and they're fishing, and they're fishing. They can't catch anything in their nets. So frustrating, right? And then all of a sudden, they see this guy out on the beach, right? And they're like, whoa, who's that dude on the beach? And then the guy from the beach yells at him, is like, throw your net that way. And they're like, bruh, we've been fishing all morning, and we've been trying to throw this net over, and we haven't caught anything. But you know what? Why not? We're really hungry. So they did what he said, and they threw the net over. Exactly. But guess what happened when they did it? A lot of fish, so many fish. And they were like, whoa, that guy on the... Exactly. And that's probably how they felt, because they were hungry. So all of a sudden they were like, we got to go in there and we got to tell this guy thank you. But then when they get there and they get close, who was it?
Jesus.
Whoa. And why was that so surprising? Anybody remember this story? This is a tricky part. This is where we get to our Christian beliefs. What do you got? Yes, I knew you'd slip that in there. Yes. We'll talk about it, I promise. It's real. I know it's important to you. Jesus was dead, but he wasn't dead because he had rose again, and here he was on the shore, and he told him about the fish, and it was just so overwhelming. So Peter jumps off the boat to go see him, and he's like, whoa, it's you. And then he's like, Jesus, are you still mad at me? And Jesus is like, no, it's okay. I forgive you. Come eat with me. And he had already started a fire, and they ate breakfast together on the beach. Wow. What does that story tell us? Why am I telling that now? And we'll go over the real version of it in a little bit, look at the Bible, and that was, Miss Denise's story. But what I want you all to remember is all those yummy breakfast food, even if we're not eating fish, our fellowship meals, okay, are a good chance for us to remember that Jesus loves us, that he did that. He helped his disciples get those fish, and he ate with them on the breakfast, and he offered peace for Peter, and he said, go out and feed my flock. And when we eat together, we should talk about Jesus and feel Jesus and remember that the whole reason we're here enjoying this delicious brunch is because we're here for Jesus. And everybody that brought their favorite breakfast foods, they're sharing their pieces of themselves with us, and we can talk to each other, and we can talk to other people about Jesus. Doesn't that sound great? So when we say, what would Jesus do? He would want us to eat breakfast together, don't you think? That's right. All right, we are going to listen to our favorite daughter-dad duo sing, and then we're going to go to Children's Church. We'll talk more about your excellent life events and a little bit more about this story.
This piece is No Matter What. And tells a story about God's undying love for each and every one of us, no matter what.
A lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all, and at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on.
A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone. But I want you to, there's still a hope for us now.
No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it, we're not separated, no matter what.
There's never been a better time to get honest. Never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free.
Oh.
You're not separated, no matter where you run. He's always holding on. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what. Don't know what you've been taught, don't know what you've been told. All I know is my God will never let go of you. No, I don't know what you've seen, don't know what you've been through. All I know is my God will never let go of you. Never let go. He'll never, never, never let you go. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated. No matter where you run, he's always holding on. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what.
Our scripture today is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. May God add his blessing to this, his holy word.
Would you bow with me? Gracious God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for your sake. Amen. 23rd Psalm has brought comfort and encouragement and assurance to countless people down through the ages. I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and the 23rd Psalm was read. And sometimes, as it is done in funerals, it was read in unison. And the thing I noticed was that hardly anybody was looking down at the bulletin as that was being read, because it is so well known. People seem to know it by heart. And it's interesting because I suspect that people wouldn't go out and buy a King James version of the Bible, but with all of those these and thous, but when it comes to the 23rd Psalm, a lot of people want to hear, "For thou art with me." Well, this is not a text we always used on a Sunday morning. It is more used in a funeral setting. But this is a scripture that remains a favorite of so many people. And it's kind of odd to me because it speaks of quiet and peace, restoration. And most of us are people on the go. We're constantly on the move. Do you remember the rabbit in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland? I'm late for a very important date. This is us. You know, we're constantly moving, constantly going, constantly doing. But this psalm paints a beautiful picture of peace and tranquility. So just reflect with me just briefly on some of these familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd. To begin with, what a difference that personal pronoun makes. The Lord is my shepherd. But I'm also content just to be. I don't need anything. I'm at peace. I shall not want. I remember a little girl who was asked to recite this psalm, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need." And she didn't exactly get the words right, but she got the gist of the message. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm secure. Life is good. The hills are green. And I'm free to just sit here and look into the sky with nothing else to do. Isn't it funny when kids don't have anything to do, they say, "I'm so bored." But when we adults don't have anything to do, it's, "Oh, yes, a weekend with nothing to do." He leads me beside still waters. Peace and tranquility rule. There's a calm over everything outside. Stillness and quiet are God's gifts to us. Now, where do you find still waters in your life? I love being at the ocean. I think you could say that's my happy place. It's peace for my soul. I love the eastern shore of Virginia on the bay. It's beautiful down there, and it's away from all the noise and the hype. We don't get very good cell reception down there, so that's an added perk. I love being at Deep Creek Lake, especially after everybody else has gone to back to work and school and the colors are changing. The water is just so beautiful. Where do you find still waters? That very idea may even remind us of that verse in Philippians about the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that only Christ can bring. Paul Lundberg writes these words, quote, "Quiet in and of itself is only quiet. But if the quiet that our souls need is a stripping away of all the extraneous noise so that we can hear the still small voice of God speaking grace to us, then quiet is a redemptive gift because it is an aloneness that allows for awareness of God." What is it about still waters that touches the soul? Geraldine Permian is a researcher at the University of Glasgow, and she writes that water evokes responses in people that are calming and energizing and can lead to better health outcomes. Shepherd leads us beside the still waters, restores the soul. In Hebrew, still waters is he leads me beside waters of rest and restores my life. We can have a new outlook, maybe, a new lease on life, because the shepherd has led us to where we need to be, where we can be restored. We're even enabled to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear evil. We don't have to fear death. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. But in the shepherd's presence, our courage is fortified. Did you know that in Hebrew, the numeric center of the 23rd Psalm is the word with? The word with. There are 26 Hebrew words before that word with and 26 Hebrew words after that word. It's almost as if God is trying to tell us this is the center, this is the heart of our life, this is the heart of our faith, that God is with us. So the psalm speaks of still waters even when we are in a dark place. That may be hard for us to get our arms around, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. God's there in those challenging times, those difficult times, even if we don't see it, even if we don't believe it, but that's the promise. I heard someone say recently that some people think that we have to believe in order for God to help us. I don't agree with that. I think God also helps those people who don't know God. People who don't care about God, maybe. Who are in such a hard place that they don't know how to pray. I think God's bigger than our narrow-mindedness, don't you? And God is already with us. Already loving, already comforting, already encouraging. Caitlin Tiffany writes this. She said, there is one treasured sentence, get this now, there is one treasured sentence that describes both the internet and our entire human world in just four words. Now that got my attention. Four words. Everything happens so much. Twitter users, now X users, have called that the general tweet of the decade and the defining text of our time. Now, I'm not sure it's that good. But it is true that life does keep happening so much. I had a church professor who once defined history as just one damn thing after another. Things do keep happening so much. And sometimes we do need to just back off, slow down, chill a little bit. Because we need that restoration. We need that rest in lives that are so often hyperactive and chaotic and exhausting. You know, many places I've traveled, maybe you've seen this in the mountains of West Virginia or in Western Maryland. I've seen, and I bet you have too, those runaway truck ramps. They're kind of a dirt and stone ramp that lead off the highway, and they're graded upward so if the truck loses its brakes, it can, you know, enter onto that ramp and slowly come to a halt. And I wonder sometimes if that's not what the 23rd Psalm is trying to say to us. I wonder if that, in fact, is not what our worship is about every week. Just taking time to be introduced to still waters, to leave the fast lane and kind of get to that ramp of safety where we can find peace. It is no secret that the world in which we live can beat us up. It can pound the life out of us sometimes. It can really be very, very difficult. I've been thinking all week about Scott and Emily. Scott lost his mother this week, just a year after losing his father. We need to be in prayer for them. In a difficult time in their lives. But that's what I meant by I said life just keeps on happening. Did you read the newspaper this morning or look at it on your phone? I mean, there is such political division among us, we can't even talk to each other anymore. There were siblings killed by a drunk driver yesterday plowing through a children's birthday party. There is always something roiling up the waters. And I don't know, it could be that we need this Psalm 23 more than we've ever needed it before. Because in a world where everything happens so much, it's easy to be overwhelmed. And you know, we've heard these words so often, for so long, that my fear is that we have lost the sense of astonishment, the sense of strength and power and encouragement behind the words. But the promise is that God is with us to calm and restore our souls. Terry and I were on the Eastern Shore of Virginia for 2 days this week. And one day the waters of Butcher Creek, that's the creek right out in front of the little cottage we have there, were so quiet, so calm, so serene, that we could actually see a detailed reflection of sky and clouds and trees right there in the water. Now, the watermen at the shore have a term for that. You ever heard the term slick cam? That's what they call it down there. Slick cam. And I would like to think that the stillness, that the slick cam that so many of us long for can be found right here when we worship, as we're being filled with the love of God, as we let go of the worries and the sorrows and the sadness and the schedules and the cell phones, discover something of the peace that passes all understanding. And not only discover it here, but remember it through the week in those places where we live and where we work and where we recreate. Everything happens so much. That is true. But since the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need. And that is even more true. And in closing, I would just remind us that when we go to the one who gives us what we need, we are also called to feed others with the same resources we have been given. We're to take what we've been given and share it with someone else. God's peace to all of you. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the reminder that you lead us in gentle paths and by quiet waters. We thank you for your love and for your care. And we ask for your help, for your strength, for your encouragement as we extend that same love and care to those beyond these walls. Lead us in your way that we might serve you in truth and in action. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join me as we sing "My Shepherd Will Supply My Need." It's hymn number 66 in the hymnal. You may not be real familiar with it, so if you want to look at the music, you can open your hymnal to page 66.
If you didn't know that, you sure sang it very well. I hope that you will stay for the luncheon right after the service. Even if you didn't bring anything to share, that's okay. There's plenty to go around. So we hope that you will stay. I'm going to offer a blessing for the luncheon right now, and then we'll be able to make our way in and begin to eat. So would you bow with me? God, we give thanks for this time of worship, for all that we've seen and heard and felt. Now, as we gather together for food and fellowship around the tables, we're grateful for the love that we have for one another and for the ties that bind our hearts in that love. Bless the food that we share to our bodies, and may that food bring us strength to love and to serve you and our neighbor. Now may the Good Shepherd lead us forward from this place into the world to serve God's people and to witness to God's love in all that we do. Go in peace, and may God's peace go with all of you. Amen.